Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now on to the episode. Hi, and welcome back to another episode of the podcast with me, your host, Francesca. So in today's episode, I just really want to talk through this fact that we can do so much to support our body through perimenopause. And if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, you've been through some of my episodes, you will know that obviously this is what I teach and talk about all the time. So it won't be new to you to hear me saying it. But I just really want to go into that a little bit more today, because there is so much negativity out there online, on Instagram, just everywhere. There's lots of accounts, which I think I've mentioned before, that are quite comical and community building, because it's everybody just getting together talking about how bad everything is. And that's not to say that you know, the symptoms aren't real, that, you know, we shouldn't be talking about them, because we absolutely should. And I'm riding this wave, this storm with you all alongside you. You know, I'm 45, 46 in a few months. Lots has changed for me symptoms wise over the last few months, and it's not easy. It's not been easy. And we're constantly having to sort of evolve and shift and change and ride these waves, you know, and figure out new things and figure out new ways and support ourselves differently, or maybe sort of keep checking in on things we might have let go that we know would be helpful, and, you know, lining those things up with new sets of symptoms that we're having, and so on. So we constantly need to evolve and review, basically. And I'm right there with you. So yes, of course, these symptoms, experiences, they're real, they're annoying. But there is this missing piece, I feel, with a lot of the stuff that I see online, that is the empowerment piece. And that is what I live and breathe and teach every single day. And I'm just not seeing enough of it in, you know, even a friend of mine showed me a Facebook group this morning. I didn't join it, but you could see a lot of the posts. I think it was open. And it was essentially, I think there was about 17,000 people in this group. And I looked through some of the posts and the comments, and it was literally a group of, you know, talking about the symptoms, how awful they are. Anyone else get this? Anyone else get this? Yes, it's awful. Oh my God, I hate it. You know, and I get it. I talk about that with friends, with family, with my partner all the time. But there was nothing other than that I saw in my time that I did spend, you know, the five, sort of six, 7 minutes I spent going through it. There was nothing empowering. It was all just, yeah, isn't it awful? Yeah, isn't it awful? Oh my God, this is awful. Oh my God, don't you just hate perimenopause? Someone else wrote something about, you know, I've gained a bit of weight around my midsection and I don't sleep well anymore. God, I hate menopause in capital letters. And I understand why that person would feel that way. If she's not sleeping, she's gaining unwanted weight, you know, she doesn't know what to do. This is awful. These symptoms are real and horrible. But there, like I said, there was no solutions offered. There was no empowerment. There was no one jumping in saying, oh no, you know, do you know why that's happening? I can explain why that's happening. And these are the things that, this is one thing that you could do to help you feel a bit better. For that person to then go away and say, okay, I'm going to try this one habit and see what difference it makes. And it probably, you know, if it's the right advice, it would make a big difference. So that's what I see. And as well, the other thing is that person that said, for example, I hate perimenopause in capital letters. That's it. You know, they just walk around feeling that way and talking that way. Again, they are not empowered at all. They have no control over the situation to their knowledge. You know, this is what they believe. And if any of us walk around feeling like we are going through something that we can't change or, you know, amend, and, you know, we can't influence the outcome of, that's going to feel horrible. Walking around thinking I'm just dealing with something and I can't change it. And I have to live with it. You know, I'm only, let's say, whatever, maybe this person, let's say they were 44. And I don't think menopause is coming for a number of years. So this is my life now. You know, that's not a nice mindset to be in. And so this is what's in, sort of sparked this week's podcast episode. So I really just want to kind of dive in a little bit on the, you know, just reiterate that that what's happening in perimenopause, the two hormones that we want to try and support, and then give you some tips, you know, some hints, what, how you can support it, some simple things you can walk away with after this episode to try if you haven't tried them already. And just to reiterate that there is so much we can do if we want to support ourselves, support our brains, our bodies, our, you know, mental, emotional, physical well-being through this stormy period, we can. I'm doing it all the time. I'm not immune to the symptoms. Of course I'm not. But I also do know that they would be a hell of a lot worse if I wasn't on it, basically. And this is what my clients say to me, you know, after we've even just done one session, they'll say after they've made a couple of changes, that's not even touched the sides in terms of the sort of roadmap that we have for them, but they've just done one or two things. They're already saying, oh my God, this, I can make this so much easier. I can feel so much better. I didn't know. I mean, obviously they knew it was possible. Otherwise they wouldn't have come to me and paid to work with me if they didn't know that it was possible to do that. But they can't believe it. And they sort of start singing it from the rooftops, you know, come on guys, if we take control and start doing things to support ourselves, we don't have to feel this way. I know I'd feel worse personally if I wasn't doing the things that I do every day to support myself. And when, as and when, like I get, you know, a new symptom or a change in a symptom or something like that, I just think, okay, I can always sort of tie it back to maybe some extra stress that particular week or that particular month or that particular day, or I've let something go and I need to just consider what that might be. And I always know, you always know what it is. You know, I've been on my screens or something until bedtime, and I'd really got out of the habit of, I've got into a really good habit of not touching my screen from like my phone from say 8 o'clock. And this one particular week, I might notice that, oh, you know, my sleep's been a bit funny this week, and I'll always be able to tie it back to something. I've been staying up a bit later watching these like intense thrillers and documentaries on Netflix that scare the life out of me. I enjoy them, but they're not great for my nervous system. And then I'm going straight to bed on them. Or I've been WhatsApping people until bedtime, you know, when I wasn't doing that before. So I can always tie it back to something. And that is up, you know, this is, it's up to us to look at the things that we're doing and not doing and try to, you know, I guess, yeah, just have that empowerment to just understand what's happening and know that it's up to us to take, you know, control of it. So that is the kind of, yeah, the main sort of message that I wanted to put out today. So yeah, perimenopause is a stormy ride to menopause, and it's anywhere, as you know, anywhere from mid to late 30s, we're already physiologically moving into the phase of perimenopause. Whether or not we start noting symptoms and yet, or maybe it's a bit later, but once we're in the throes of our 40s, most of us are noticing something, even if it's really subtle. Whether it's a little bit of anxiety that we didn't have before, maybe it's a very subtle sleep disturbance that we didn't have before. It could be we're noticing our periods are a bit heavier, maybe our cycle shortening by one day, or, you know, there might be no changes to cycles until much later, but there could be some subtle change, maybe a little bit of brain fog. I'd never even heard of brain fog until I started to really, really study perimenopause and then move into my 40s myself. And I was like, oh my God, one day, I think I was around 42, I just said to myself, this is that brain fog that people talk about. I've heard about it for years. I just did not know what on earth it was. So yeah, whether or not people are noticing symptoms straight away, subtle, big, that depends on the person and what stage they're at. But we've got estrogen fluctuating month to month, mildly some months, wildly other months. We've got progesterone on the decline, and that's happening from before. That's sort of happening earlier 40s. The estrogen fluctuation and the decline in estrogen, that happens, the decline in estrogen happens much later in usually in perimenopause. It starts to erratically fluctuate usually after progesterone's already started to declining. And that's why the early stages of perimenopause, you know, sort of early 40s, somebody might start noticing a little bit of anxiety, subtle changes to sleep. And this is usually due to a little bit of declining progesterone. So we usually have very high levels of estrogen in the at first in perimenopause, sometimes three times higher than they've ever been before. And then that decline in estrogen really does, as I said, start much later. And that brings that erratic nature of estrogen as well, brings a whole set of different symptoms. But as I said, you know, we know this already. I've talked about this in previous episodes, but about, you know, the physiology of perimenopause, what's happening to the hormones. But the great news is that we can navigate these rough waters. We can. We just need to become that smart captain at the front of the ship, basically. We have to be that person to help ourselves, to help our body navigate these rough waters, because they're not going anywhere. Perimenopause is a natural phase. We just need to know, you know, what we can do to support ourselves. So your symptoms respond very, very well to diet and lifestyle tweaks. They are temporary symptoms, but it is a rough, you know, rocky time. But they, like I say, you know, if we can get the right habits in place, all of the symptoms respond really well to the smallest of habits, you know, the simplest of habits that we would probably, so many of us would just overlook and think, well, that can't help. You know, if I'm feeling X, Y, Z, if I've got this brain fog and this anxiety, this sort of subtle anxiety and some sleep issues, how is, you know, increasing my protein at breakfast going to help me? How is getting out into natural daylight when I wake up going to help me? It's just a couple of examples of some really powerful habits there. But we would, you know, if you're feeling pretty rubbish and someone says to you to do that, you'd be like, well, I don't think that's going to help. How's that going to help? But that's what's so amazing about a lot of these really simple nutrition and lifestyle tweaks. They really are pretty powerful. And I experience this every day with a client who says, all I have done is put my screens away every night before bed. I've stopped scrolling until bedtime. I've stopped, you know, answering WhatsApps or even looking at my WhatsApp until bedtime like I used to. And I'm sleeping better. I'm not waking up anymore, or I'm only waking up once instead of three times. You know, that's so powerful, because then the knock-on impact of getting better sleep week, day after day, week after week, month after month, is huge. That means more motivation, more energy, more joy, you know, more energy to do the things that you know you should be doing, like really looking after your nutrition, for example. But you've just been so exhausted that you've not put things into practice. But now that you're getting better sleep, like I say, as the days and weeks and months go by, that exhaustion dissipates, the motivation comes back, and then that starts to change everything. So yeah, just to kind of outline some of the physical symptoms, and then we'll look at the emotional and mental cognitive symptoms. So some of the physical symptoms include like the heavy period, so new flooding, clotting, period pain maybe that wasn't there before, bloating, menstrual bloating, sort of puffiness, particularly around ankles, wrists and fingers, spotting between periods. So usually this would happen, let's say, a few days or a week before your period is arriving, and you might have some spotting. That's usually a sign of low progesterone for that particular cycle. You might start to notice that your cycles are becoming, as I said, shorter by, it could be anywhere between 1 and 5 days. Mine went from their average of 28 days throughout my 30s. They then went to 27 days, 26 days, 25 days. Now they're 24 days. I'm nearly 46. So I'm experiencing that shortening now. It took the second 3 to 4 years for them to go from 28 days down to 24. They may start to space back out again. They may go back up to 25, 26, 27. I may even start having 28 day cycles again, but that usually then starts to mean that after a while, they will then lengthen out and out and out. And that's when you start to eventually skip periods. But that, you know, again, that whole process could take another 3 or 4 years for me. Who knows? Breast pain, new or worse breast pain, trouble sleeping, waking in the night, trouble falling asleep, trouble staying asleep, a lot of women describe that they wake up at 4 a.m. and they just can't go back to sleep, and that's it. They're up for the day, and you know, comes sort of 6 o'clock in the afternoon and evening, they're absolutely exhausted. Waking up feeling hot, that is something that I'm going through at the moment. Just not waking up feeling refreshed anymore. You know, gone are the days where you'd wake up in the morning and have a big yawn and just think, oh yeah, I'm ready for the day. You sort of wake up every morning feeling like, you know, I don't know, you've been bulldozed through the night and you just didn't realize. Weight gain, particularly belly fat. So a lot of women describe that they're only gaining weight around the middle, nowhere else. Some women are obviously gaining it everywhere, but they particularly around the middle is very common. Headaches, migraines, new or worsening, if you know of them, skin outbreaks, even acne, fibroids, growth of cysts. So these are the sort of not, you know, obviously it's not a non-exhaustive list, but these are many of the physical symptoms. And then emotional and cognitively, you know, that's when we're looking at things like fatigue, low energy, easily exhausted, reduced resilience to stress, feeling like we're just unable to cope like we used to. Little things that didn't, you know, just didn't get to us before and now feeling big and very overwhelming. Maybe you're like me and you look at things like the washing up and feel just so completely overwhelmed by it. Whereas you would never feel overwhelmed by something like that in the past, you know. So it's starting to sort of notice this easy to overwhelm, very common. The brain fog, the lack of focus, the slower thinking, the poor memory. This is all the cognition side of things. The mood swings, irritability, a little bit of anxiety, low or flat mood, just not feeling like yourself, feeling low motivation, losing that sort of zest for life, wondering when you're going to feel joy or fulfillment ever again. So, you know, there's a whole heap of different symptoms all at once, created from the same sort of imbalance, which is essentially the erratic, the new erratic nature of estrogen and the decline of progesterone. And the further we move through our 40s, the more erratic that estrogen is, and the further that decline of progesterone, which is why things tend to start feeling worse the further a woman moves through perimenopause. And obviously everyone's experience is completely different. Well, not completely different, but it's going to vary from person to person slightly. And what is wonderful, though, about all of this, you know, horrible stuff is that the same set of nutrition and lifestyle habits, tweaks, impact everything. They impact all of these symptoms. You know, you could say, like, for example, one habit, like increasing protein in the morning, making sure you're having at least 30 grams of pure protein with every breakfast and eating within an hour of waking. Just that one habit can affect, I don't know, 90% of the symptoms I've just listed out, if not all of them, in some roundabout way, which is what makes this stuff really, really powerful. Your symptoms are feedback. They're basically, you know, they're messages from your body. They're not just random annoyances. It is all, yes, we can say it's all part and parcel of perimenopause. Those, the shift, that physiological change in hormones is causing these symptoms. But they do also reflect how your body's responding to your lifestyle and your environment. So, for example, by lifestyle and environment, examples of that would be your food choices, your blood sugar, is if your blood sugar's balanced or not, your morning and evening routines, your sleep, your own stress and life load, your movement and exercise, your detox pathways. So that's how your liver is detoxifying your toxins and your estrogen, how your gut is, you know, digesting your food and breaking it all down, absorbing nutrients, and whether you're having daily bowel movements that are healthy and fully formed, your relationships, your unique mindset, your health status. Is there any sort of history of, for example, thyroid imbalances or autoimmunity? You know, all of those sorts of things is what your body is responding to once it then moves into perimenopause and the change in estrogen and progesterone starts to happen. If somebody was to have wonderfully balanced blood sugar, 3 nourishing meals each day, plenty of protein, good morning and evening routines that are supportive of good sleep most of the time. Yes, they have stress, because who doesn't? But they've managed to lighten their life load as much as they can in a way that actually really suits them, and they feel fine. They feel okay with the level of stress that they've got. They don't necessarily feel overwhelmed by it. They are moving in a way that's nourishing to their body, their system. It's helping to build muscle. It's not stressing their system out. They've got good liver and gut processes going on. They have healthy relationships. They have a healthy mindset. And they, let's say, don't have a history of particular health issues from before. That person is less likely to experience the symptoms that I've talked about in a really big way. They will experience something. You know, we're all going to experience some sort of shift. Our cycles are going to change, the heavy flow, the shortening of the cycle. All of that is going to happen because that is part and parcel of the body's journey towards eventually going 12 months without having a period. It has to start somewhere, and it does. It starts in perimenopause. It can just take sort of, you know, 10 years to get to the point where we go 12 months without having a period. So that person's cycles will still change. They'll still eventually get to that point of 12 months out of period, but they're less likely to be experiencing, you know, really shocking brain fog and mood issues and anxiety and really bad sleep issues or hot flushes, night sweats. That's probably, you know, the memory issues, the forgetfulness, the overwhelm, the lack of resilience. That's probably not going to be that much of a problem for them. Like I said, they might notice certain things change, maybe, for example, their tolerance to certain exercises that they used to do before, or certain classes or styles of exercise that they used to do in their 30s might not be so helpful for them anymore. You know, fasting, things like that might not be so helpful for them anymore, but they're less likely to really experience this horrendous time that I see and hear about that so many women are experiencing. I think I'm hoping that that's empowering to you to hear that, because this is what our symptoms are, feedback, they're messages. They're saying, look, I cannot take the way we're living right now, guy, you know, body. I want change. I want you to do something. I want you to start nourishing me better. I want you to look at blood sugar balance and make sure we're eating enough protein at every meal to make sure that blood sugar is regulated. I want you to start improving your morning and evening routine so that we can sleep better and have more of a wind down at night. I want you to address the stress, the dysfunctional relationships, you know, the people who are constantly at you and asking you for things and putting things on you. And, you know, I want you to stop looking at your WhatsApps until bedtime. And I just, you know, this is what it's sort of crying out for when these symptoms are really bad. And this is why I say, when I see these groups where, like these online groups where people are just offloading about how awful it all is, and then you hear everyone saying, me too, God, isn't perimenopause awful? But there's no empowerment. There's no solutions. There's no one saying, well, hang on a minute, guys. These symptoms are feedback. These symptoms are feedback about our lifestyles and our diets and our stress. And actually, there's things we can do. We can make tiny tweaks here and there, and we can build upon them over time. And we can change this. There isn't any of that. And it really, it just gets to me when I go through some of these groups and I think, I can't even look at this anymore. This is so disempowering. Yeah, so that was kind of the main message I wanted to plug in today's episode. So we really want to be supporting basically both of the hormones. So as I said, progesterone is on the decline, and that's essentially because we are ovulating not as often, so possibly not as, you know, every month like we might have been before. And when we do ovulate, we don't tend to ovulate as well, as kind of robustly as we did before. And therefore, that means we don't make as much progesterone anymore like we used to. It's not as, you know, some months we might, but other months we don't. And over time, that just as a whole leads to this decline in, you know, on average, this decline in progesterone. And progesterone balances estrogen. So it helps to prevent those really, really heavy, heavy, clotty, horrible, painful periods. So if we're losing it, we're more likely to have those sorts of periods. It also keeps your mood steady. It calms the brain. It supports GABA, our calming brain chemicals. So therefore, we have less anxiety and we have better sleep, better mood. It supports our thyroid. You know, it keeps our thyroid balanced. So another tip there is, as we go through perimenopause, please make sure you're having you're sort of investigating your thyroid health by way of a full comprehensive panel, that you're not just looking at TSH and T4, that you're actually looking at TSH with free T4 and free T3, not just there's total and there's free. We want to get the free T3 and the free T4. T4 is just the hormone that the thyroid gland produces. But once it's been produced by the thyroid, we need to be able to convert within the tissues in the body, we need to be able to convert that T4 into T3, which is the actual active hormone that does all the work. So if you're ever getting tested for your thyroid and you're only testing TSH and T4, that is not enough. That's not showing you the full picture. So that's another thing that we need to be aware of and ask for or go privately to check on that as we go through. And then estrogen imbalance, we have a stable mood, good sleep, clear brain, you know, clear thinking, lots of clarity, good memory. We have healthy weight, good insulin sensitivity, which, you know, help blood sugar stay more stable. But when we have the highs on the roller coaster, the highs of estrogen, that's the heavy, painful periods, breast pain, headaches, migraines, mood swings, histamine reactions. So all these random itches that people get. Itchy nose, itchy throat. I've had all of it. I have all of it from time to time at different points in your day, not just your cycle, but even at different points in your day, we can have a high of estrogen, you know, a high and a really low, all in one day. And so that the high moment can bring on a histamine-like reaction, like an itch or something. And then the lows, once it shunts down low, that's the fatigue, anxiety, low mood, brain fog, can't sleep, waking up with hot flushes, having a hot flush when you're stressed or something. You know, this is basically what we're dealing with, but we can support both hormones. For example, we can help the estrogen get cleared out of our body more efficiently, which really helps to sort of taper the roller coaster. So we want to be supporting our liver and our gut. We want to have daily easy formed bowel movements. That's absolutely key. We want to balance our blood sugar. That means having plenty of protein with every meal, starting the day with protein, at least 30 grams of protein. The exact amount of protein per person that each person individual needs is going to change from person to person, but you know, I don't know you. So as a kind of general rule, minimum 30 grams of protein with every meal, please. I honestly, trust me, if that's all you do from this episode, that if you're not doing that already, some of you probably are, but for those that aren't and you start having 30 grams of protein, Google what that looks like, and think of some foods that you'll eat in the morning that will get you that. For example, a couple of eggs is about 10, 11 or 12 grams of protein at the most. So just be aware that if you're having two eggs in the morning, it's great, but it's still not enough. You need another 20 grams. Meal timing, making sure we're eating three meals a day, spread out well, and sleeping well and managing stress. All of these things help to balance blood sugar. We want to soothe the nervous system. Again, protein, sleep, stress, all of these things help to do that. But we can also help with on the supplement level by things like magnesium glycinate, glycine as well, and daily downshifting practices, you know, things like 4-6 breathing, even just for when you breathe in through a count of four, out through a count of six, even just for 2 to 3 minutes at a time. If you did it first thing in the morning, in the middle of your day, after a stressful meeting, or something else that you might find stressful, maybe last thing at night as well, in part of your screen-free time before bed, all of these things make a difference. Reducing hormone disrupting chemicals. I'm going to do a separate episode on that. I don't think I've done one already, but I am going to do one coming up soon. So kind of swapping out your plastics, perfumes, regular household cleaners, and for natural alternatives. There's lots more different brands and products coming out these days. So the prices are coming down as well, which is good because there's more competition. So things like that make a big difference. Supporting your body to ovulate. We can ovulate right up to menopause. It's just not as easy as it was before. But if we just lay down and take this and we don't try to support the body to ovulate more, we're just going to exacerbate the progesterone decline that's already starting. So things like managing stress, sleeping, you know, supporting sleep, balancing blood sugar, eating enough food, eating enough healthy fats, not being low fat, stop dieting, stop fasting. If we're lifting weights and we're making sure we've got some key nutrients in there as well, like the B vitamins, zinc, magnesium, selenium, all of these things help to support progesterone. Now, obviously, I'm just giving you like a sweeping summary overview of things we can do. Each and every one of these things I'm talking about would take another sort of hour to discuss half an hour of their own. So I'm just giving you a sweeping overview, but I'm just trying to share the message that there is so much we can do. We do not have to lie down and just take perimenopause and go with it. Weight gain in our 40s is a big complaint as well. As I mentioned earlier, the kind of particularly a lot of women describe belly fat specifically being a challenge, and no matter what they do, despite, you know, eating well, exercising, they just cannot shift it. But the changes in estrogen and progesterone that I've described, they cause metabolic shifts in the body that make the body become better at storing fat and worse at maintaining muscle. And those two things are obviously going to essentially switch on this, you know, just this kind of constant fat storing mode, particularly around the middle. And again, we don't just have to take this lying down, we can do something about it. But I feel that, like, it's really important to know the mechanisms and then, okay, well, what can I do then? And then when you understand the mechanisms and you know what to do in relation to that mechanism, it should make you feel more inspired, more motivated to actually take the action because you know why it's helping. So the estrogen roller coaster that we start experiencing, it impacts how the cells in our body and the brain uptake, how efficiently they uptake glucose from the bloodstream, for example, as a result of the breakdown of our foods, particularly carbohydrates. Before perimenopause, the cells in our body and brain were more efficient at uptaking that glucose from the blood. And the cells would use that energy, that glucose, as energy either straight away or it would be stored for use later. And that includes brain energy as well as body energy. So let's think, you know, thinking about things like brain fog, and we need glucose in our brain cells to prevent that. So when we move into perimenopause and estrogen is roller coastering so much and we have these drops of the roller coaster, it makes the cells in the body and brain become more prone to insulin resistance, which means that the cells are not as efficient now at taking up glucose in response to insulin telling them to do that. And that can result then in that typical sort of apple shape, you know, this new belly fat around the middle that we just can't shift no matter what we do. But not only belly fat, is also increasing, like I said, brain fog, but also hot flushes, night waking, headaches, migraines. This is all to do with energy to the brain. So it's a really crucial time in our lives to say, look, we can't just not do anything and just sit and chat with all these other women about how awful it is and just hate it all. We have to accept that we have to do things differently now. And they can be, like I say, the smallest of simplest of things. We just need to do it. We just need to know what to do, because it just makes such a profound difference to all of it. So simple habits, like, you know, weaved a few in already, but simple habits like lifting weights to build muscle, stop focusing on the running and the HIIT, start focusing on lifting weights 2 to 3 times a week has been shown, 2 to 3 times a week for about 30, even just 30, 40 minutes has been shown to support the building of muscle mass and the, you know, maintenance of muscle mass, which is really, really important because we're losing muscle mass the further we move through our 40s. So lifting weights, as I said, increasing protein, changing your relationship with carbohydrates, because as I mentioned a minute ago, we become less efficient at soaking up glucose from the bloodstream from, you know, carbohydrate foods. So no longer can we get away with that big plate of chips, that big massive plate of rice and mashed potato and the big pasta with a tiny bit of protein. There's nothing inherently wrong with those foods, but we just can't get away with, we can't process that big portion of carbohydrates anymore like we did before. So we just need to be aware of that and say, okay, a couple of closed fist sizes, close your own fist, look at that. And maybe two of those at the most is enough for the starchy carbohydrate portion on your plate. So maybe 1.5 big tablespoons of rice or pasta, not a whole plate or half a plate or 3/4 of a plate. So it's just thinking about it like that. Managing stress, as I said, you know, that's such a big, big term. It means so much. But it's, you know, it's just something that I'm listing out here. And supporting our sleep and our circadian rhythm, our internal body clock, really, really important and helpful to support that. These things make the world of difference. And if we're not doing these things, then we can stay in these groups and complain for years to come, because it will just continue to feel bad if we don't do something and start taking action, and also embrace the changes, embrace it, see it as a whole new era. You know, this is it. This is me in my 40s now. This is my new chapter. And that also means doing things differently, and it can be enjoyable. It should be enjoyable, because these things are wonderful. They're so good for us. Like, they make us feel good. And none of it means that we can't have a glass of wine here and there. We can't go out and, you know, have a G&T, whatever it is we might love. It doesn't mean that. Can't go out for coffee and cake. It doesn't mean those things. It's more about what we can be doing to support than what we shouldn't, you know, we should cut out. Because let's start focusing on what we should be doing that we're not doing first. And all those other things will have their place, because your body will be far more resilient to do them, you know, to have them. So essentially, the body needs a 360 degree approach. We also, you know, we can't just be thinking about troubleshooting individual symptoms. I have so many questions, and I see so much on social media. I see supplements being advertised for brain fog. Like, you can't just troubleshoot a symptom. This is for brain fog. This has been shown to reduce brain fog. Okay, what about all the other symptoms? And what about the core reason, the root cause of the brain fog? Their supplements not getting to the root cause of the brain fog. We have to get to the root cause, and that's where and address the whole body as one system. Because if someone's brain fog, for example, is being exacerbated by blood sugar dysregulation, blood sugar imbalance, which is increasing the situation of insulin resistance, which means that that person is finding it very hard to uptake glucose from the blood for their body and brain cells, and that's resulting in their brain fog. And let's say they don't eat enough protein at all. They have cereal for breakfast. They have a sandwich for lunch. They have pasta for dinner. So that person's blood sugar is now all over the place as well. And that's going to impact it too. Taking a supplement for brain fog is not going to support you. It might help you for a couple of weeks. You notice a bit of a difference. But at the end of the day, the root cause of that, you know, that brain fog is perpetuating every day, day after day. So also those, you know, the blood sugar imbalance, the lack of protein, for example, is not just going to be driving brain fog, but it'll be driving a headache, migraine, low energy, forgetfulness, overwhelm, sleep issues, all sorts of different symptoms, even anxiety. So again, just trying to troubleshoot brain fog, what about all the other symptoms? Whereas if we actually take this 360 approach and look at it as like a whole body systems approach and say, okay, well, if I start increasing my protein, that's going to support my blood sugar balance. And then if I start regulating my circadian rhythm, so I, you know, have a nice wind down routine in the evening, I get myself into daylight first thing in the morning, and, you know, various other things that we could discuss. But if I start doing these things, then that's going to support my blood sugar, which is going to support insulin resistance, which is going to support brain fog, anxiety, sleep issues, weight issues, headaches, migraines, energy issues, all of these things. So never mind these, you know, magic supplements that are being touted. Some of them can be helpful. I work with supplements in my practice all the time. Of course I do. But they are very carefully selected, and they all have a reason. You know, I had a client the other day who I just gave her supplement plan, and it was all carefully curated just for her, based on her symptoms. We even had test results at this point for hormone testing, Dutch test. So it's all based on that. And, you know, gave her this supplement plan. I keep it as minimal as possible. It's nothing huge. And then she sent me a link later on, what do you think of this supplement? She'd seen it on Instagram. It was beautifully designed, really nice. Lots of flowers, lovely box. And it was also being pushed by a celebrity, you know, who has thousands of followers, and she's very pretty. And, you know, so of course she was taken by this supplement. It's promising to balance her hormones and make her feel great. And I just said, I looked at the ingredients, there's nothing special in there. And it's just packaged up really well. And it's just got a lot of money behind it, a lot of marketing, a lot of design money behind it. And I just said, look, you need to focus on your own plan. It's perfect. The one I have made for you is perfect for you. Don't get sidetracked by these fancy, pretty things that we see. It's all, you know, a lot of it is cashing in basically on perimenopause and all the awareness that's come now. So yeah, you know, it's really the take home message is that nutrition and lifestyle habits are really important and really, really impactful. If we simply start with the basics, that's good blood sugar regulation and proper nourishment, good food with every meal, plenty of good fats, plenty of colorful vegetables, a modester portion of our starchy carbohydrates with our meals, plenty of protein, at least 30 grams with every meal. If we start looking at having a good sleep and wake pattern 7 days a week, getting out into daylight when we wake up as much as possible, having a wind down routine in the evening that supports good sleep rather than just being on, you know, screens until bedtime, supporting our nervous system, that could be various tools and things that, and habits that, you know, we can discuss in another session. Hormone nourishing exercise, like I said, building muscles and stop focusing on the stuff that's adding stress and adding fuel to the fire, stuff that's really cortisol dysregulating, like long distance cardio, intense cardio HIIT. These kind of things aren't helpful. These long duration HIIT classes, boot campy type things. Instead, switch the focus to walking, mindful walking, gentle yoga, and muscle building activities like lifting, pushing, pulling heavy weights. And then once we've got those basics in place, that's when you then want to start looking into, you know, do I have enough iron, B12, folate, B6? Am I metabolizing, breaking down my estrogen enough? Am I doing what I can to support my progesterone? Those basics will already start supporting progesterone. What's my gut health like? Do I need to start focusing on looking after my digestion a bit better? What's my thyroid health like? What's testosterone saying? Maybe I need to look into some functional testing for better insights and a more targeted approach. You know, these are things that we can go down later once we sort of get those foundations in place and see what's left. I really felt compelled today to jump on my recording studio thing. Which is just basically a bit of software on my computer. Certainly don't have a big studio, maybe one day. But I just really wanted to come on and spread this message today because I'm just seeing so much disempowerment around me and it's depressing. So before we finish as well, one thing I definitely want to let you all know about is my Midlife Thrive group coaching program, which I have decided to relaunch as a kind of like rebrand it and bring it back to life. I used to deliver group programs frequently up until about, I'd say, 4 years ago. Things just changed in my business and I've just started to sort of go in a different direction. But what I've realized is that my absolute most favorite thing to do in the world is run my group coaching programs. They are incredible. We have weekly group Zoom coaching calls where everyone gets their personalized a bit of coaching, but we all do it as a group. So it's so powerful because we learn, we also get our, you know, everyone gets their personal time, but they also learn from each other. You know, listening to someone else's advice is really helpful for you. And it's so transformative. So I've really missed doing them. So I'm bringing it back. It's called Midlife Thrive. It's a 12-week transformative group program to help you take control and become empowered and take charge of your hormones and feel like yourself again and start navigating your 40s like easefully and joyfully and move into menopause itself when that time comes, which could be years and years and years away, knowing that you're going to be able to navigate this really well and feel good on the other side rather than like fall into it feeling terrible. The group program is so special and effective really because you get the best of both worlds. You get personalized guidance from me, like I said, on the live coaching calls every week. You get the accountability, the encouragement, the connection with women going through similar challenges. We're all here for the same thing as well. Everyone's got the same mindset. You're not going to join a program like this unless you want to take control and change things. If you just want to stay in these groups and continue, you know, these Facebook groups and forums and continue to sort of complain about it and hear other women saying, yeah, me too, isn't this just the worst? If you want to just stay in that space, you won't join a program like this. So everyone who's joined a program like this wants different. They want to transform. They want to change. So you're all, you know, of similar mindsets, and that's really powerful. And we work through my proven framework that shows you exactly what to focus on and how to make changes that are enjoyable for you and easy for you to implement and, you know, continue doing forever. So over 6 of the core modules in the membership site, so that will be available online for everybody who joins, will cover the foundations that you need to thrive. That's your blood sugar balance and good nutrition, your stress management, nervous system support, sleep and circadian rhythm balance, movement and exercise, hormone metabolism, detoxification support for healthy estrogen balance and clearance, the gut health stuff, digestion. And after we've gone through those 6 core modules, there's additional education for you to dip in and out of to really deepen your transformation. So that'd be everything you need to know, how to support your thyroid health, nutrient deficiencies, any testing you might need to know about, and so much more, because I have honestly put my heart and soul into creating the educational material and videos and resources that is part of it. But the real magic isn't in the actual modules and the education part, it's in the coaching, the conversations, the breakthroughs that we have along the way as a group. And of course the educational stuff is important and empowering, but honestly the real magic and the transformation happens on those coaching calls. And if you can't join a call 1 week, you just listen to the recording the next day. You can submit questions to me ahead of time, so I would address those on the call even though you're not on it, and you just listen to the recording the next day. So how it works is we have the weekly live group coaching calls. There's 12 in total. At the moment they're going to be at 7 p.m. every Wednesday. I will discuss with the group once everybody's joined. I only have 10 spaces. So once all 10 people have joined, I will ask, you know, if there's a, maybe do a poll about particular times that work best for people. But at the moment, it's 7 p.m. on Wednesdays, starting on the 1st of October. So you get the weekly calls, you have that step-by-step curriculum with the 6 core modules. You'll have lifetime access to the membership site as well. So if you don't work through everything in the 12 weeks, which is absolutely fine, by the way, and pretty normal, you have the rest of your life to go through them. There's a resource library with, as I said, you know, my practical guides and worksheets and just real tools to help you make it achievable. And the supportive communities. We have a group of online of like-minded women online, you know, every day asking questions to each other, sharing wins with each other, asking me questions, getting feedback from me. This is every day for 12 weeks. So it's basically like having me in your pocket and your fellow members in your pocket for 12 weeks every single day. It is a really, really, really powerful, powerful experience. And I cannot wait to run it. Like I say, I only have 10 spaces because I want to keep it as intimate as possible. This is not some big, you know, big group program. It's just 10 of us getting together. So, I mean, it's a huge, huge, huge value, you know, at least £5,000 worth, if not more. But I'm pricing it at £997. So £997 as this Founders Midlife Thrive round, only for this Founders round, which you can also pay in 3 monthly installments of £333. I must check what angel number that is. I'm not really familiar with that, but it might mean something. So 997, one payment, or 3 payments of 333. And yeah, I mean, that's it. It's important that you see that you're not just investing in information. That's the information is there. And of course, that's part of the empowerment, but you are investing in transformation, not just for now, but for your future. And I would not say that if I didn't truly believe it and mean it. And I promise you that's what you will get out of it. Think of Midlife Thrive as your pre-menopause care, sort of getting your body ready for the transition. But as you're doing that, you're making, you know, you're helping yourself to feel amazing and enjoy life like you should. You know, we shouldn't be wading through treacle every day, just trying to get on, trying to get by. Yeah, we need to be feeling good and enjoying our life. And it's possible, even in perimenopause, despite all the stuff that we hear. So thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope it's been empowering and helpful and inspiring in some way. Let me know if you've taken anything away from it. If you feel that you're ready to join Midlife Thrive, we start on the 1st of October. There's a link in the show notes to join. You can also just go to my website, francescaliparotti.com, and you'll see there's a tab at the top that says group program, so you can also join it there. If you've got any questions about it, please just feel free to email me or DM me on Instagram. Ask your questions before you make the decision to join or not. I'm here for you to help you, you know, to help you figure out if it's right for you. I'm not just going to say, yeah, join. Like if it doesn't seem right for you, I'm not going to tell you that it does. So please get in touch if you want to ask anything. And that is it for now. And I'll see you next time. Bye for now.
If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.